Good morning, everyone. We are reading in Book 1,
the Book of Beginnings, Canto 3, the Yoga of the Soul's Release. And we've reached the break on page 38. This canto deals with the first stage of King Asvapati's yoga. Sri Aurobindo has introduced him to us as a colonist from immortality, one who has come to earth with a special mission. And in the first section, there was a description of the essential nature of this great seer. And then in the subsequent sections, Sri Aurobindo has been describing some of the experiences that King Asvapati has as he's growing into his larger self. At the end of the previous section, Sri Aurobindo spoke about the gift of discrimination, of discernment that came to him. A swift, intuitive discernment shone, so that one glance could separate the true and false, detect the magic bride in her disguise, or scan the apparent face of thought and life. We believe that all the experiences described here are based on Sri Aurobindo's own experience. And here we have the appearance of discernment. In his book, The Secret of the Veda, Sri Aurobindo has spoken about three goddesses. He had the experience of these goddesses bringing gifts to him, spiritual gift to him. One of them was discernment. Another is inspiration. And the next section that we'll begin reading now is largely about the working of inspiration. So we haven't yet read through this next section, and there's only a very short last section. So I think we'll start now and read to the end of the canto. And then we'll come back here to page 38 and look in more detail at each of the passages. Would you begin, Sudha?
Of inspiration with her lighting tree, a certain messenger from the all-seeing God traversed the soundless corridors of his mind, bringing her rhythmic sense of hidden things. A music spoke, transcending mortal speech, as if from a golden fire of the all bliss, a joy of light, a joy of sudden sight, a rapture of the thrilling, undying world, poured into his heart as into an empty cup, a reception of God's first delight, repetition of God's first delight, creating in a young and virgin time, in a brief moment for a little space, all knowledge packed into great wordless thoughts, lodged in the expectant stillness of his depths, a crystal of the ultimate absolute, a portion of the inexpressible truth revealed by silence to the silent soul.
Thank you. Bessie?
Intense creatrix in the stillness realm, the power falling, speechless, more and more intimate. She looked upon the scene and the unforeseen. Unguessed domains, she made her native fields. All vision gathered into a single ray, as when the eyes stare at an invisible point. Till through the intensity of one luminous spot, great new arm of splendor suddenly rose. It rent the gauze of a pack of missiles. Her lifted fingers, keen, unthinkable tip, bared with a step of flame, the close young.
Thank you. Will you?
And I awake in voiceless heights of trance, a mind plucking at the unimaginable, overleaping with a soul perilous bound, a high black hole hiding superconsciousness.
Superconscious.
She broke in with inspired speech for sigh and planted the unknowable's forest estate, a gleaner of infinitesimal grains of truth, a sheaf binder of infinite experience. She pierced the mysteries of your influence and her magic methods wrapped in a thousand veins. Or she gathered the lost secrets dropped by time in the dust and the crannies of his mountain route, mid old forsaken dreams of hastening mind and buried remnants of forgotten space.
Thank you. Don?
A traveler between summits and valleys, she joined the distant ends, the viewless deeps, or streaked along the roads of heaven and hell, pursuing all knowledge like a questing hound, a reporter and scribe of hidden wisdom taught. Her shining minutes of celestial speech passed through the masked office of the occult mind, transmitting it again to prophet and to seer, the inspired body of the mystic truth. A recorder of the iniquity of the inquiry of the gods, spokesman of the silent singings of the supreme, she brought immortal words to mortal men. Above the visions of brilliant and slender curve, release like radiant air, dimming the moon, broad spaces of a vision without a line or limit swam into his spirit's ken. Oceans of being met his voyaging soul, calling to infinite discovery. Timeless domains of joy and absolute power, stretched out surrounded by the eternal hush. The way that leads to endless happiness ran like green miles through the meditating vasts. Disclosed stood up in a gold moment's blaze, white sun steps in the pathless infinite.
Thank you. Marianne.
Along the naked curve in longer silk, the points that went through the closed heart of things shadowed the interminable line that carries the everlasting through the years. The magician order of the cosmic mind pursuing the freedom of infinity with the stark array of nature's symbol facts and life's incessant signal of even cosmotic chance and currencies into law, the chaos of science into a universe. Out of the rich wonders of the intricate worlds, of the spirit's dance with matter as it masks the balance of the world's design with the good leader, its mystic symmetry of self-arranged effects managed in the deep perspective of the soul and the realism of its elusive art. Its logic of infinite intelligence, its magic of a changing eternity.
Thank you. Bom?
Of this was caught our being the forever unknown. Our veterans stood out our love on moving world. In the immutable nameless origin, was seen emerging as from phantomless stage. The trail of the ideas that made the world, and thrown in the black earth
Surreal, yes.
Surreal dream. So this is masked superconsciously. So as the eyes with their closed lids can see all things, appeared of the architect who built in time. The original desire born in the form, here's he saw the whole and never sleep. So this as long beyond the fleeting face.
Thank you. Franz?
Hardly for a moment glimpsed viewless to mind, as if a torch held by the power of God, the radiant world of the everlasting truth glimmered like a faint star bordering the night, above the golden overmind's shimmering bridge. Even their God is through a cunning veil, the smile of love that sanctions long game, the calm indulgence and maternal breasts of wisdom, suckling, the child love of chance, silence, the nurse of the Almighty's power, the omniscient hush, womb of the immortal world, end of the timeless, the still brooding face, and the creative eye of eternity.
Thank you. Patricia, you like to read?
The inspiring to the mortal's breast, made there her study of divine thought and sanctuary of prophetic speech, and sat upon the tripod seat of mind. All was made wide above, all in darkness core, she dug out wells of light. On the undiscovered depths, imposed a form, lent a vibrant cry to the unheard past, and through great shoreless, voiceless, starless breaths, bore earthward fragments of revealing thought, hewn from the silence of the universe. A voice in the heart uttered the unspoken name. A dream of seeking thought, wandering through space, entered the invisible and forbidden house. The treasure was found of a supernal day.
Thank you.
Anandi,
I think you'll have to project your voice a bit more.
In a deep subconscious growth that during life, lift its shoulder edge to prepare it, where, and beneath the traffickers of sense, announced guarded, burned night dragon hall, in the port of velvet darkness wrapped, they sleep, whose price and value would have saved the world. Darkness carrying morning in its breast, looked for the eternal wide eternal ring, waiting a bend of the larger flame, and rest of the lost has the sun.
Thank you.
In the splendid extravagance of the waste of God, dropped carelessly in creation spendthrift work, left in the chamber of the bottomless world, and stolen by the robbers of the deep, the golden shackles of the eternal night, parted from touch and view and thought's desire, locked in blind ankles of the ignorant flood, lest men should find them and be even as gods, a vision lighting on the viewless heights, a wisdom illumined from the voiceless depth, a deeper interpretation breaking through, a grand reversal of the night and day, all the world's values changed, heightening life's aims. A wiser word, a larger thought came in than what the slow labor of human mind can bring, a secret sense, a role that could perceive a presence and a greatness everywhere.
Thank you. Press on.
The universe was not now this senseless world, worn round the world on an immense machine. It cast away its grandiose, lifeless form, a mechanism no more a work of chance, but a living movement of the body of God, a spirit hidden in portions and in forms. It was the specter of the mobile scene, the beauty and the ceaseless miracle letting the glow of the unmanifest, the formless everlasting moving in it, seeking its own perfect form in souls and things. Life kept no more a dull and meaningless shape. In the struggle of the upheaval of the world, we saw the labor of the goddess work. A secret knowledge masked as ignorance, faith covered with the unseen necessity, a game of chance of an omnipotent will, a glory and a rapture and a charm, the all-blissful sap unknown within the heart, earth's pain were the ransom of its prison delight, a glad communion tingled the passing hours, the days were travelers on the destined road, the nights companions of his musing spirit.
Thank you. A heavenly impetus quickened all his breast. The trudge of time changed to a splendid march. The divine dwarf towered to unconquered worlds. Earth grew too narrow for his victory. Once only registering the heavy tread of a blind power on human littleness, life now became a sure approach to God. Existence, a divine experiment, and cosmos, the soul's opportunity. The world was a conception and a birth of spirit in matter into living forms, and nature bore the immortal in her womb that she might climb through him to eternal life. His being lay down in bright, immobile peace and bathed in wells of pure spiritual life. It wandered in wild fields of wisdom self, lit by the rays of an everlasting sun. Even his body's subtle self within could raise the earthly parts towards higher things and feel on it the breath of heavenlier air. Already it journeyed towards divinity, upbuoyed upon winged winds of rapid joy, upheld to a light it could not always hold. It left mind's distance from the truth supreme and lost life's incapacity for bliss. All now suppressed in us began to emerge. Betty, will you read?
Thus came his soul's release from ignorance, his mind and body's first spiritual change, a wide God knowledge poured down from above, a new world knowledge broadened from within, his daily thoughts looked up to the true and one. His commonest doings welled from an inner light, awakened to the lines that nature hideth, attuned to her movements that exceed our ken. He grew one with a covert universe. His grasp surprised her mightiest engine springs, energy springs. He spoke with the unknown guardians of the worlds. Forms he decried our mortal eyes see not, his wide eyes bodied viewless entities. He saw the cosmic forces at their work and felt the occult impulse behind man's will. Time's secrets were to him an oft-read book. The records of the future and the past outlined their excerpts on the etheric page.
Thank you. Do you like to read? Puna.
One and harmonious by the maker's skill, the human in him paced with the divine, his acts betrayed not the interior flame. This forged the greatness of his front to earth, a genius heightened in his body's cells that knew the meaning of his fate, hatched books akin to the march of unaccomplished hours beyond life's arc in spirit's immensities. Apart, he lived in his mind's solitude, a demigod shaping the lives of men. One soul's ambition lifted up the race, a power worked, but none knew whence it came. The universal strands were linked with his, filling earth's smallness with their boundless breaths. He drew the energies that transmute and age, immeasurable by the common look. He made great dreams a mold for coming things and cast his beads like bronze to front the years. His walk through time outstretched the human stride. Lonely his days and splendid like the sun's.
Thank you. So we'll go back to the break on page 38 and we can look at these passages in more detail. Sudhanya, would you read, please? Thank you. Sudha's asking about this phrase, a repetition of God's first delight, creating in a young and virgin time. So it's as if the goddess of inspiration drops into his heart something of that delight. It seems to be held in a phial. A phial is a beautiful little bottle that keeps something very precious in it, no? So this little drop from the golden phial of the all bliss, it's containing the delight of everything. Into his heart she drops this joy of light, this joy of sudden sight, a rapture, an intense delight of the thrilled undying word, the word of creation, poured into his heart, and his heart can receive it because his heart is like an empty cup. And that intense delight which he feels is like a repetition of the delight which the Lord felt first created this universe at the very beginning of time, in a young and virgin time. It's my belief that actually the greatest delight that we human beings can experience is, as human beings, is to be able to create something, the joy of creation. And when that comes to us from a higher inspiration, that we receive some golden gift like that.
Mm.
Yes. The essence of the bliss, like homeopathy, you know, you get those little phials. You can get a drop of the essence of all bliss.
In French,
it's
a fiole.
A fiole, yes.
Small bottle.
Yeah, small bottle that's meant to contain something precious. It's interesting that he says that what inspiration brings is her rhythmic sense of hidden things. It comes in a rhythm, and it comes as a music. A music speaks, transcending mortal speech. That music and those rhythms express much more than our mortal speech can express. Yes, she comes very quickly, yes. And she brings light with her. What she's bringing is flashes of lightning. She comes suddenly, and a messenger, from the all-seeing tops, from the highest levels of consciousness. And again, she's able to come to him because his mind has become silent. She can pass through the soundless corridors of his mind. Aran, would you read? No? Will you read?
In a brief moment talks, Mentor says, all knowledge kept in great voidness thus, locked into the expectant stillness of his death, a crystal of the ultimate absolute, a portion of the inexpressible truth revealed by silence to the silent soul, the intense creatrix in his stillness world, the power falling speechless, grew more intimate. She looked upon the seen and the unforeseen, and guessed the means she made her native tree. All vision gathered into a single wing, as when the eyes stare at an invisible point, till through the immensity of one luminous thought, and the apocalypse of a world of images, enters into the kingdom of the seer.
Thank you. So, three different sentences, three different messages. So, inspiration brings to him in a brief moment, a little space, all knowledge packed into great wordless thought. Thoughts come to us normally in our outer mind in the form of words. It's like a voice telling us things in our head. It's not like that for everybody. Some people, they come in the form of images and pictures and so on. Mother says that this outer mind that thinks in words sometimes doesn't even know what it's thinking unless it speaks those words aloud, unless it can share them. But she tells us that it's much better if we can hold the thoughts, and if we can rise to a little bit higher level, they come to us in this wordless form, and we shouldn't be in a rush to express them in words. We should wait. They will formulate their own words. And beyond that, higher, she says, one can think in experiences. So then those thoughts, those great wordless thoughts, can be expressed in many, many, many different forms of words. So he's receiving such inspirations, and they lodge, it's as if they place something into the expectant stillness of his depths,
He's waiting, he's receptive, no? They put there a crystal of the ultimate absolute. Again, it's something pure and transparent, expressing the essence of something, a portion of the inexpressible truth, the truth which is too vast to be held in any limited form of expression. But that truth gets revealed by silence to the silent soul. Then Sri Aurobindo speaks of the goddess of inspiration, as the creatrix. She brings creativity. The intense creatrix works in Asvapati's stillness. Her power, fallen speechless, grew more intimate, goes deeper into his being. And from there she's able to look upon the seen and the unforeseen, even what has not been imagined for the future. Unguessed domains she made her native field. So later on in this section, we'll explore with Sri Aurobindo some of these unguessed domains. And then the third sentence is about this yogic experience in which all vision gathered into a single ray, as when the eyes stare at an invisible point till through the intensity of one luminous spot, an apocalypse of a world of images enters into the kingdom of the seer. It's one of the yogic exercises, not to focus the subtle vision on an invisible spot somewhere in front of the third eye here, concentrate on that. And if your concentration is intense enough, you may reveal that there may be this breaking open of the power of subtle vision, so that a world of images can pass into your ken, into the kingdom of the seer. An apocalypse, it's a Greek word meaning revelation. So the description of the action of the goddess of inspiration continues. Yes.
Can you just go back a minute to the sentence in music spoke transcending modern speech?
Yes, please.
Mother, when she used to play the organ, she always spoke about the music that she heard and that she used to try and reproduce on the organ.
Yes.
Until the time came when she said that it needed more than the organ to reproduce what she was hearing.
Yes.
And that is the point when she asked Sunil
to take up
start
the
orchestrating, and she would play the organ music and give it to him. And she was very happy with the orchestration that he made.
Yes.
So that the first
one. Yes.
I wanted to say that this last part about the single ray.
Yes.
I would like to think that it's an image of the crystal.
Yes, here there's a crystal, no? There's a crystal of the ultimate absolute, a portion of the inexpressible truth. That's surely what our crystal represents, no? Mother has said two things about the crystal in the Matrimandir, to my knowledge. She said it's the object of concentration. So you can focus on this luminous spot. But she says it's also the symbol of the future realization. And that is very, very interesting to think about, that that perfectly pure crystal, perfectly spherical, it can receive the ray from above and spread it out all around, because within it, every single atom is in its right place. Otherwise, there would be flaws in the crystal. So that's the future realization, when all of us, every single atom of us and we as atoms, we're all in our right place, receiving the light from above and spreading it
all around.
It's our connection with the universe. Okay.
With the, yeah, the light, the unwavering ray from above, yes. So let's go on. Mohri, are you ready to read?
A great new arm of splendor suddenly rose. It went the cause of the Masons. The lifted fingers came unthinkable tip, barred with the staff flame. It closed beyond. An eye awake in voiceless heights at once, a mind plucking at them. In unimaginable, overleaping with a soul and furthest bound. The high flesh wall hiding superconscience, she broke in with inspired speech of sin.
Scythe.
And unplugged the enemy's vast estate. A cleaner of incontestable grains of truth, a sheep blender, binder of infinite experience, to pierce the darkest mysteries of world force, and the magic methods wrapped in a thousand veils. Cold, she gathered the lost secrets dropped by time in the dust and crannies of this mountain belt. She made old forsaken dreams of hastening mind and buried remnants of forgotten space.
Thank you. So another way that the goddess manifests herself is she raises this great nude arm of splendor and it tears apart the opaque gauze, that shadowy veil of nescience, of not knowing. And she points at something, her lifted fingers, keen, unthinkable tip, as if it's very pointed and sharp, this fingertip bared with a stab of flame, as if she can shoot flame from her fingertip, revealing the closed beyond, beyond that veil of nescience which was hiding so much knowledge. She opens that up. Sri Aurobindo describes her as an eye awake in voiceless heights of trance, in the superconscience, far above mind. And below, the mind plucking at, trying to get at something that it can't grasp, the unimaginable. And then, like a thief, she leaps over the high black wall hiding superconscience. She's able to leap it over it with a single dangerous bound, a great leap. She broke in with inspired speech for scythe. A scythe is one of those instruments that harvesters use, no? A long handle and a long curved blade. So she's rushing in to, she's leaping in to plunder the unknowable's vast estate. He has so many secrets, the unknowable, on his estate. She's leaped over that high black wall, hiding superconscience. And from there, she's harvesting, plundering, and bringing those secrets to Aswapati. So the harvesters use the scythe, and behind the harvesters go the gleaners. There are who pick up every little dropped seed of grain. So she's like that too, like the in the Bible, the widows and the fatherless. They're allowed to go behind the harvesters and glean the dropped grains. So she goes gathering the lost, the infinitesimal grains of truth. But she's also like a sheaf binder. When you're harvesting, there are people who go behind the harvesters and pick up the sheaves and bind them into bundles so that they can be easily carried away.
a sheaf binder of infinite experience. So she uses all these capacities and methods to pierce the guarded mysteries of world force, the force that is sustaining all our universe, the miraculous power of nature, who has so many magic methods which she wraps, she keeps hidden in a thousand veils. Or she goes back into the past and gathers the lost secrets dropped by time, as time moves forward on his mounting route. Certain knowledge gets dropped in the dust and crannies of the route. And there they lie among old, forsaken dreams of hastening mind, mind hurrying forward, has dropped certain kinds of knowledge. And they're lying there amid those old, forsaken dreams. And those buried remnants, lost and forgotten remains of spaces, places that we know nothing about now. Old, forsaken dreams of hastening mind and buried remnants of forgotten space. Shall we go on, Ravi?
Traveler between summit and abyss, she joined the distant ends, the viewless deeps. Or straight along the road of heaven and hell, pursuing all knowledge like a wasting hound. Or reporter and scribe of hidden wisdom talk, her shining minutes of celestial speech passed through the mask office of the occult mind, transmitting gale to prophet and to seer. The inspired body of the mystic truth, or recorder of the inquiry of the gods, spokesman of the silent sayings of the supreme, she brought immortal words to mortal men.
Thank you. She can move everywhere. She's a traveler between the highest heights and the lowest depths. And she goes everywhere, pursuing all knowledge like a questing hound. One of the images, Vedic images, for the goddess of intuition is that of a dog who follows his nose and finds things. So she's like that, a hound following a scent, pursuing all knowledge in heaven and in hell. And she notes down what she learns. She's a reporter and a scribe of hidden wisdom talk, conversations that are going on in private places. She notes them down. She makes minutes, like the secretary in a committee, no? Her shining minutes of celestial speech, of those heavenly conversations. Those, she notes them down and they get passed through the masked office of the occult mind, the hidden mind. And when they're transmitted, they give to prophet and to seer the inspired body of the mystic truth. This is how the rishis received their knowledge in rhythmic, imaged form. And she records the inquiry of the gods. Apparently they are also doing research. She records their findings and she expresses the silent seeings of the Supreme. And it is her task to bring immortal words to mortal men.
The journey from this was so interesting. How in daily things, in
small things, the inspiration came, yeah, and was there. So that is, it's not just the highest thing. It's in real small things in daily
yes.
life. That's so wonderful, yeah.
Is it Bhakti Sutta? Would you read?
Above us, the vision's brilliant, slender curve, released like fading hair, dimming moon, broad spaces of a vision without line or limit, swam into his spirit's skin. Oceans of being met his voyaging soul, calling to infinite discovery. Timeless moments of joy and absolute power stretch out surrounded by the eternal hush. The ways that led to endless happiness run like dream smile through meditating vasts. Disclosed stood up in a gold moon blaze, wide sun steps in the passage infinite, along a naked curve in boneless self. The points that run through the closed heart of singing shadow the indeterminable line that carries the everlasting through the earth.
Thank you. Wonderful, mysterious images. He seems to image the reason like a crescent moon. It's only a reflected light, and it's not even a full moon, it's only a faint one. But in his experience, he sees released above it radiant air, light, air full of light, an atmosphere full of light. That makes the moon appear very dim, so you can't even see it, the crescent moon. Oh, these broad spaces of limitless vision swam into his spirit's ken. Your ken is your field of knowledge. What do you know? There are many things that are beyond our ken. We don't know them. But these, above the reason, this radiant atmosphere and this power of vision without line or limit becomes part of his spirit's ken, his spirit's field of knowledge. His soul is traveling, journeying, voyaging, and he becomes aware of oceans of being, limitless seas of existence and all different possibilities of existence, calling him to infinite discovery. There's no limit to the possibilities of discovery for his soul. He sees these timeless domains, unlimited by time, realms of joy and absolute power. They stretch out, surrounded by the eternal hush. And he sees these ways, these pathways that lead to endless happiness, running like dream smiles. The curves of those pathways are like beautiful smiles as they run through these meditating vasts. And then, as if just for a moment, I revealed in a gold moment's blaze, white sun steps in the pathless infinite. The steppes are those vast plains in Central Asia, no, that roll endlessly. You can't see them. But these are sun steppes. They are blazing golden, like the sun itself, full of energy and light. And there's another curve, along a naked curve in bornless self. It again means unlimited, without any border. The points that run through the closed heart of things shadowed the indeterminable line that carries the everlasting through the years. It's as if he can see that curve
stretching out in this unlimited self and running through it, these little, this curve of points that run through the closed heart of things, all the happenings and appearances of our universe. Through those points he can trace that indeterminable line. We can't really define that line that's carrying the everlasting through years, the years through time. But he's showing himself here and there in limitless self. Aswapati can get an idea of that journey or course of the everlasting through the years. He says the line, yes. So there is a line that carries the everlasting through the years, but it's an indeterminable line. But he says that this experience somehow shadowed it, gave a reflection of that indeterminable line of the divine presence journeying through time. Sorry?
Might it be a succession of lives?
Yes, I think it is something like that. Perhaps each of us, if we look back, if we get that opportunity to look back to the history of our soul, we might see it like that, like a succession of points. But this is the Lord himself. Yes, yeah.
This would be like evolution or manifestation.
Yes. Yes.
It's like the pearls on the necklace, the thread going through all the pearls.
Yes. Shall we stop there for today?
Traveler between summits.